Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Trading places. It's a trope in entertainment where two characters in the story trade places with one another, whether it's by their own device that they want to do this, whether it's by some supernatural means, and then they have to go about living the other person's life. You can see it in The Prince and the Pauper. You can see it in Freaky Friday. You can see it to a different extent if you're a fan of VeggieTales, The Princess and the Pop Star. Anyone know VeggieTales, that one? Okay, we got a hand over here. We're good. Yeah, and so it's funny when we, you know, read this in a novel or when we see this in entertainment in Hollywood. It's funny to watch Lindsay Lohan try to act like an adult as a teenager and for Jamie Lee Curtis to try and act like a teenager as an adult. It's funny. It's kind of funny to watch a singing carrot attempt to be a farm girl. It's funny because there's no real implications. After the story is done, it can always be wrapped up nicely. And even if it wasn't to be wrapped up nicely, at the end of the day, it's just a story. But what happens? What happens when trading places has actual impact on actual people? That's the subject, really, of all of our scripture lessons for today. And so it's important as we begin this season of Lent to see where we have attempted to trade places wrongfully and where the remedy for that comes to us. So our reading from Genesis today, chapter 3, we see the temptation and the fall in the garden, where Satan comes to Adam and Eve, our first parents. Notice he doesn't try to tempt them to trade places with God outright from the beginning. He starts with a question, but it's almost really a statement, if you will, of incredulity. Did God really say you can't eat from any of the trees? Notice he already starts with deception because he knows the answer. Yes, they can eat from some of the trees. There's just one that they can't eat from. But he starts with this grandiose statement. You mean to say that God put all these trees here and you can't eat the fruit of any of them? And Eve says to the serpent, well, we can eat from the fruit of the trees. It's just the one. Just that one. It's the tree of the knowledge of good. We can't eat from that tree. Because if we do, even if we touch it, we will die. And here Satan sees his opening. Here he sees the opportunity to separate Adam and Eve from God. And he says, oh no, that's not it at all. You see, the one who created you, he's kind of leaving something out. You know, that tree, if you eat from it, God knows that you're going to be like him. Your eyes will be opened. You'll know good and evil. You'll be like God. In a sense, the temptation that Satan provided to Adam and Eve, and before we get any further, let's recognize, yes, he's speaking to Eve, but the text tells us that Adam was right there. So men, I'm sorry, we've got no out on this either. Yes, Eve was the one who was deceived, but we were right there. We abdicated our responsibility, Adam did, to care for his wife and to step in. the temptation was, you can be like God. You're this lowly creature that God has made. Even though you are the pinnacle of creation itself, there's still a gap between you and God that on your own you can't close. But if you do this, if you follow my words, then you can close that gap. You can trade places and bring yourself up to the place of God. And well, that's all Eve needed to hear. You see, nothing else had changed about the fruit. It says that it was good for food. That was already true. That hadn't been wrong the whole time. It was already pleasing to the eye. Nothing changed about that. It looked the same the whole time. But now she realized in her mind, at least she thought, that this would be good to make me wise. And so she took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she ate of it. And then she handed some to her husband Adam, who was with her. And he ate it. And then, the worst deal ever struck in the history of humanity. They got what was really there for them, though it wasn't exactly what the serpent deceived them into believing. They got their eyes opened. They got the knowledge of good and evil. But instead of trading places up, their naked ambition was exposed. And they were brought down into bondage to sin, ashamed of taking what God had given them of paradise and throwing it away for knowledge that was never meant to be theirs in the first place, because this knowledge is not something that helps. This is knowledge that hurts. This is knowledge that kills. And they traded paradise for that. And because humans are not all-knowing and all-wise, and because they were ashamed of their actions, they set about the course of attempting to cover it up, hiding their sin. But fig leaves can't hide sin. Trees can't hide you from the presence of God Almighty. As the psalmist says, where can I go that I could flee from your presence? If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I rise to the highest heaven, you are there. You are everywhere. And so when God comes to the garden, he says to man, where are you? Not that he didn't know, but he was giving Adam an opportunity to come clean, to confess what he had done. He doesn't answer, really. He answers in a sinful, ashamed way. He says, I heard the sound of you. He doesn't say, here I am, Lord. Notice all of the righteous people in Scripture, when God calls to them, their response, here am I, Lord. Abraham said it over and over again. Here I am. But no, Adam says, oh, I heard you, God, and I was scared. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself. And again, God asks a question, a series of questions, not because he doesn't know the answers, but it's all an opportunity from God to confess. He says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree, the one that I told you not to eat of? And Adam, he doesn't come clean. He deflects. He blames God. He says, well, that woman that you gave to me, let me tell you what she did. So she gave me this fruit, and then I ate it. It's your fault, and it's her fault. I didn't do anything. What do you expect me to do? And God addresses the woman. What is this that you have done? And Eve, she deflects too. Well, that serpent that was in the garden, well, he deceived me. He tricked me. I knew it was wrong, but it seemed too good to be true. And so I wanted it, so I ate. And from then on, from that moment on, all of humanity has spent the entirety of our existence in our own strength, running from God, hiding our sin, and trading the place of honor which was given to us by God for bondage into sin. Some people would think, well, if I had been there, I would have done differently. I wouldn't have fallen for it. It's a lie that we tell ourselves, and I can prove it to you. If I tell you right now, you can do anything you want to, just don't think about purple elephants. You all failed the test. We in our sinful human nature, because Adam's sin has been visited on all of us, because when he had children, they were made in his likeness, with the corruption of sin was passed through Adam to every single human creature. We are no better. We are sinful. And in our hearts and our minds, we continue to seek only the things that gratify us, that we desire. We trade our place to have a relationship with God for the things of this world. And if that was the end of the story, if that was the only place that was ever traded in all of history, that would be a dreadful thing. Because the wages of sin is death. And so death comes to all men because all have sinned. But thanks be to God, that is not the only place that was traded. For God knew that we could not be left in our state. Because God loves us, each and every one of us. God decided to trade places. And so God became a man. The second person of the Trinity became a man like one of us, having flesh and bone, having a soul that could either please God or could turn away. Jesus Christ was every bit human as he was divine. And thanks be to God, because he is the Son of God, he can withstand temptation. So when Jesus is in the wilderness, and Satan comes to him. He tempts him the same way that he tempted Adam and Eve. He says, if you are the Son of God, and latent within that question is, did God really say what he did at the baptism that was in the previous chapter that you should have hopefully read recently? God's voice came down and said, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And so Satan says, did God really say that about you? Prove it. You're hungry. That wasn't a lie. Turn these stones to bread. You can do it. Again, not a lie, but it's against God's will. It would be to trade places in a way that is not according to God's will. And Jesus says, no, I won't do that. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Satan says, well, all right. Well, if you're the Son of God, prove it. Throw yourself down from the top of the temple. God will save you. Jesus again says, I'm not going to do that. It's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then finally, Satan cooks up this idea. Well, let me show you the world and all of the kingdoms and all of their splendor. This I will give you if you will just bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, why would I do that? I'm the Son of God. I have a glory that comes from heaven, from God the Father. Why would I trade that for the glory of man that is stained with sin? Be gone, Satan. It is written that you shall worship the Lord your God. Only him shall you serve. And with that, Satan departed from him. And angels ministered to him. And as Paul said in the children's message, the point of this story, of this narrative, is yes, Jesus is an example, and yes, Satan can be overcome with Scripture, but none of us have ever done that perfectly. The point of this passage is to tell you that Jesus is the perfect Son of God and has proven it by word and deed and his ability to overcome Satan when we could not. People don't like to hear that. And when you trade places with people, it's tough. And so the chief priests and the scribes, whose place of authority that they thought that they deserved, and their place of importance as Jesus ministered to the people, as Jesus proclaimed the gospel, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Well, their place got taken away from them. And they didn't take kindly to it. And so they decided, we have to get rid of this Jesus. We have to kill him. We want to keep our place. And so they did. They killed the Lord of glory. They crucified him, hung him on a tree, thinking that would be the end of that. But thanks be to God that that is not the end of the story. You see, God already anticipated sinful man. God already anticipated all of the schemes that the devil could throw against him, and he used it to bring us righteousness. Because the greatest exchange, the greatest trading of places that there is in history is when the Lord of heaven came down and emptied himself to the point of death, death on a cross, took on all of the sin of all of the world from the point in the garden until the end of time, so that he could give us his righteousness. That's the trading places that we focus on in Lent, that we receive anew in Easter, that we recognize is ours in the waters of holy baptism. Because as St. Paul writes earlier in Romans, we were buried therefore with him in baptism into death into sin, that we might be raised to walk in newness of life. The sin of our father Adam stained all of humanity and brought about all manner of sin and evil into this world and death. But the one obedient act of Christ changes all of that and brings us righteousness. And by the one's righteousness, the many will be made righteous. Martin Luther tells us in the article, the second article of the Creed, in his explanation, that Jesus has purchased us not with silver or gold, but with his holy and innocent blood, that we might serve him in innocence, righteousness, and blessedness. And that this is most certainly true. And so if you have been united with him in a death to sin in your baptism, and you have, then God has promised to trade all of that sin that you have and give you Christ's righteousness. And that on the last day, he will bring you into his kingdom and tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, though we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, because God is with us. And every step of the way, he is leading us and guiding us and training us and preparing us to trade this world of sin for the new heavens and the new earth, which he will bring about by his power, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until that day. Thanks be to God. Amen.